Next, we have Jennifer Balow, who is the Executive Director of Healthy and Active Before 5, an innovative childhood obesity project. Jennifer acts as a liaison to over 50 partner agencies throughout Contra Costa County, California. She and her colleagues are the originators of the Pledge the Practice, Pass the Policy Challenge, which spotlights organizational policy change and inspires community partners to become a role model for healthy eating and active play.
Hello, thank you. My name is Jennifer Balow, and I work with Diane Dooley, who's sitting over there. We work in Contra Costa County, which, if you're from out of town, is very nearby. It's across the Bay Bridge, east of Oakland and north of Berkeley. I'm going to ask you to do one thing. I'm going to have to do kind of a call out and call back. This is easier to read than it is to say, so I'd like part of the marketing to say it. If we could all say it out loud together. Pledge the practice, pass the policy. Okay. Because you're going to take this home with you, so you need to remember it. So I have no conflict of interest, but I have some special thank yous to Kaiser. So I have no practice, pass the policy is a new slogan, but it's a very old idea. It's the walk the talk. It's the practice what you preach. It's the be the change you want to see. It's advice from wise people like St. Francis and Gandhi and Oprah. I think you can't get too far in this conference without realizing that the obesity epidemic can also, it is overwhelming. It feels overwhelming. In Contra Costa, our childhood, our statistics for young children, 0 to 5, are better than most. We've seen a slow decrease during the time of our project from a rate about 13% of obese kids, 0 to 5, to something closer to 10. But this is unique in California, and we don't see the same thing for school-age kids, which is closer to 26% of our fifth graders. The obesity epidemic is not any one person's problem to fix, but we really do believe it's everybody's job to help. And that the things we do, both as individuals and as agencies, make it easier for this little guy to either sink or swim. Our agencies can and should be healthy role models for the families that we serve, and that we also have the opportunity to change the food environments that are closest and within our reach. The last 2 years, we've been working with, we have a leadership council of about 50 community partners in Contra Costa, and we've been working for the last 2 years to get those community partners to be healthy role models and change the food environments that they have control over. And we've gotten 24 new healthy policies within Contra Costa in that time. 21 of those are local beverage policies. Right now, we only did this count for the policies that we passed last year, but right now our current count is 8,255 children reached and another 5,240 adults reached. And BAMPAC, who's a local partner on a regional level, is replicating this model. And Susan, what's your total for the policies that you passed? It's over 300?
Yeah, with 15 organizations, it's 308,000.
308,000. So the idea that the community, the food environments that our local partners and agencies, child-serving agencies and family-serving agencies, their food environments really do impact a great number of people. We like policies because, the Pledge the Practice, Pass the Policies, our programmatic emphasis has been on policies because we think that they are they're shared agreements, and they're sustainable, more so than practice is. We provide Healthy and Active Before 5, provide to our partners technical assistance in the form of some sample policies, and then the policies that we had samples of, we have a no soda, no juice policy. our focus again is kids under five, and so we took a no juice stance as part of our policies. A lot of, we don't see as much soda in our age group, but we do see a lot of juice. So no soda, no juice policy, a healthy foods policy. We did a sample policy for breastfeeding support and one for movement and play. And it's the URL, we have a library on our website of our partner policies. So if you want to visit that URL, it'll get you there. You'll notice I don't have a lot of words on my slides. There is a handout that I uploaded to the website, too, which has more of a project description. This keeps me from reading the slides too much and gives your eyes a break. One of the things that some of the examples of the policies, we started off with sample policies, but the policies always took the shape of the agency that adopted them. They were always customized, always fine-tuned to meet the needs of the agency. So some of the policies we had included that parents weren't allowed to bring juice to snack time anymore, so importing juices. Healthy Neck Before Five, we did our policy as kind of, again, as a role model to our partners. We took a really kind of strong stance and decided that we were going to have our food policy, that food at our meetings was going to model the My Plate. So if it was a breakfast meeting, it was still going to model My Plate. We weren't just going to load everybody with scones and fruit and send them on their way to catch up on the other parts of the day. But we were going to make that part of ours. We had some agencies that just said, well, soda is no longer reimbursable. You can buy it, but we're not going to reimburse you for it. We don't want you doing that. So each agency kind of really discussed it as an agency and came up with things that mattered to them. One of the tools that we found most helpful, and then we used to do, was we did kind of a challenge and launched a mini-grant challenge where we gave $500 mini-grants to the first 10 agencies that passed a policy. And what we did, it worked really well. And in upon reflection evaluation, what we figured out why it worked well was, one, is that it provided an urgency that healthy food policies just often don't have on their own, especially in the last couple of years where a lot of our nonprofit partners were downsizing their staffs and things like that. They had a lot going on. But this, the idea that you could get a $500 mini grant really, and that there weren't that many, created a sense of urgency that really helped us along to get attention. The other thing is that the $500 went a long way to fixing problems. It, stuff that would get in the way of healthy policies, like, well, if we don't buy juice, how are we going to, we don't have water pitchers to give people. We don't have money for water pitchers. It would be that simple that they would keep people in the old habits they had. $500, you can get water pitchers. You could get a privacy lock on a new lactation space. You could get the play props or a new play mat for the waiting room. You could fix some of the problems. So it went a long way for some true troubleshooting in that way. One of the other lessons learned was that it was kind of, whether it was taught from a policy standpoint often didn't matter. We had instances of successes in both ways. One of the stories is about our 100% healthy vending in Contra Costa. And there was a vend that the county health department had a 50% healthy vending policy in place since, I think it was 2004. And in 2007, they checked in on the policy to see what was happening and found that only 20% of their vending machines were actually in compliance with the law. And people were getting kind of frustrated with that. At the same time, the hospital was frustrated with the fact that they were seeing patients that were in dietary counseling at the same time eating junky snacks waiting for their visits. And they were getting those junky snacks from the vending machine that was just around the corner. So there was a push to go to 100% healthy. And a lot of people, there was a survey done of staff at the hospital that all believed that sugar-sweetened beverages and junky snacks were a part of the problem and were something that they were counseling their patients about. But there was great resistance in giving up the junky snacks in the vending machine. It turned out that Dr. Bill Walker was the tipping point in this policy. He had been an active member of Healthy and Active Before Five. He took a personal stance with the American Academy of, was it, it wasn't family physicians, when they were taking, deciding to take some money from Coca-Cola, that he had some real problems with that. So it was during this mix that he just said, enough, we're going to do 100% healthy vending machines. So I think this, and the candy is now gone. This is a photo that was taken at one of the tastings. They, the Contra Costa Regional Medical Center got one of our mini-grants. They weren't able to buy food using county money, so they used our mini-grant money to buy tasting so people could taste the healthy treats and do a launch of the new healthy vending machines. But in that case, I think it's both. There was a lot of grassroots work that was done, not only in the assessment of the problem, but that it also, in the end, it was really accelerated by some top-down decision-making. Our children deserve the best we can offer. I think that that also goes along with our co-workers. I have one more story to tell. The slides, my memories taste like orange. One of the mini-grant agencies this last year was a group called YES in Richmond. It's Youth Enrichment Strategies, and they take Richmond kids and families and expose them to the great outdoors. And they were very excited. It was, they saw our mini-grant opportunity as a way to push the work ahead that they were kind of planning to do sometime, but wasn't ready to until we said, hey, you can get $500 to help you along your way. I think they're particularly brave because they serve families 0 to 5, but they also serve everybody else, school-age kids, teenagers, adults. They passed a healthy beverage policy, which covered both children and adults at all of their events, including family camp, which they basically take Richmond families and hold them hostage in the woods for like 3 days without sugared sweetened beverages for the first time this summer. They, at orientation, warned parents that there weren't going to be sugared sweetened beverages and that they wanted their help. A lot of families pack in their own food, and they were asking them not to pack in the sugary drinks. They said it went very well. They got a couple grumpy teenagers, but they said they always get a couple grumpy teenagers, so that wasn't something they were used to. And they said it went very well. Eric, the executive director, was telling me the story at one of our community meetings, and it turned out Lakeisha Hill, who was sitting on the other side of me, was one of the families who had gone to camp. And she picked up the story after Eric finished and said how her kids had come back asking for fruit water, which is what Eric had served in place of the sugared sweetened beverage. He had the spa water, which you're now kind of getting used to, the big vats of water with the bobbing pieces of fruit. So Lakeisha's daughters wanted fruit water when they came home. And I thought that was great. And I thought more about that, and I realized that the Lakeisha's daughters probably weren't that excited about the fruit water, maybe. But I think they were also getting sentimental about camp and wanting the fun of camp and remembering what camp was like. And I thought back about how powerful that association is, and that's something that the soda companies know. And I thought about my own childhood, where I belonged to a children's theater group. And at every performance, we got this orange punch donated. I'm 45 years old, so if anyone about my age was in poorly funded nonprofit work, you might remember the orange punch that was donated by McDonald's in the big igloo-type coolers. Well, every fun time I had was punctuated with this orange drink. And it didn't have ice in it. I got this offline. There was never any ice in it. It was just orange drink. But I was thinking about, especially for kids in Richmond, how important some of these enrichment activities are and how if we can match up healthy foods and healthy habits with some of those special times, what a powerful thing that could be. And so we're finding that as well as just some of the norm change or what expectations are at celebrations and things like that. This is my last slide. It's about being brave. There are things, our program's called Pass the Policy, Practice and Policy. The practice part of it is that you can, in many times, get the same results. If you're the one in charge of buying food for your meeting, you can decide to go 100% healthy as soon as you want to, in many cases, and just practice it pledge the practice. Say you're going to only have healthy meetings, and you buy healthy food, and you stop buying soda, and you stop buying juice. We like to see the policies, but the practice can get some of the same changes much quicker. One of the agencies that we're working with now is the East Bay Center for Performing Arts. They have a complicated, ambitious policy because they do, they run their own programs, they have concessions at performances, they loan out their space, and so they're trying to figure out what to do about all these different food interactions. But even in the midst of working on that policy, they're just not serving juice anymore to the kids in their care. So they're already making healthy changes. That the policies aren't necessary, but they're helpful in sustaining those in many cases. So I'd like to kind of empower you, even if you've been frustrated with policy in the past, is to look for places where you can try policy again. You can work on some of these practice changes that would kind of reshape some of the food landscape. We are seeing norm changes now, even within 2 years. Our central county agencies got kind of a head start as opposed to some of the West County agencies. And it's spa water all over the place. It's even at parties and celebrations. It's eye-catching to see a carbonated beverage. And it's just something that I think people felt like there was no better time, there was safety in numbers, there was all sorts of reasons, and it was the right thing to do for the families that they served. For all those reasons, it was a good time to make the change. And we do think that it builds momentum for larger social change, larger policy efforts, things like that, when people have made the change at home in their own organizations and can move the work forward. So thank you.